Blog Talk Radio.
But committed no crime and bad mistakes. I've made a few. I've had my share of bad kicks in my bed, but I come through. I need to go on.
Hey, welcome back to the Transform Traveler Show. Nice to have you on listening to our show this evening. And we've got back from Spain our special correspondent, Heather Tocchini. Heather, welcome back.
Thank you.
Nice to have you back. You spent 6 weeks in Spain and a little bit of time in Portugal. Why did you choose Spain as a place to travel for summer of 2013?
I really wanted to learn Spanish. And I've always had my heart set on going to Spain because I've traveled most of Western Europe, but I hadn't been to Spain. And I had a lot of friends that had studied abroad there, and they loved it. And I wanted to learn. I knew Spanish in Spain was a little bit different than Mexican Spanish, and I've heard it's a lot. Not easier to learn, but I like what people have said about learning the language there, and they said it's more challenging, but I prefer to study in Europe over South America or Mexico.
Absolutely. Really the home of Spanish. When you were over there for that length of period of time, of interest to our listening audience is, was there more change that occurred to you because of the length of time you were there and how you lived in Spain versus being over there as just a traveler?
I mean, I really needed a whole year to become changed by their culture because I felt like by the time I was getting the hang of it, of the language and their lifestyle and their schedule, I left.
Yeah, interesting. And I think that says a lot for the way people travel and sadly, Americans are given 2-3 weeks of vacation from busting it all year long. So that's we're talking about 49 weeks of work versus 3 weeks off. And it's like, you guys really don't get it when it comes to travel because you traveled over there and you got into the rhythm of the culture. Tell us about how they work on a daily basis, what hours they're off and when they're going to shut down.
Well, they start their day around 9:30, 10, and then they work until 2:30. And they every store, all the banks, not restaurants, but most stores have a 3-hour window, which is what they call a siesta. And the streets are completely dead. No one's out, and it's the hottest part of the day. And then at 5:30, they go back to work, and they work until around 9:30. And then they have dinner around 10. And then if they're younger, they'll go out until 4 or 5 in the morning. So I don't think they sleep.
That's amazing. But it's almost like they've got the rhythm of their life is right for them. And obviously the kind of food that they eat may be healthy for them because they're eating late at night. So that kind of bridges right nicely into our five senses. That's a tradition on the show about talking about how your five senses were awakened. So let's get the easiest one out first. Tell us about your most memorable food and drink.
The most memorable food was paella, and it's their most popular dish there, which is like rice, and it's either made with seafood or with vegetables and meat. There's every restaurant had a different paella recipe, and the woman I lived with made it a couple times a week, so I got used to eating that. And then their special drink was called Tinto de Verano, which translates to summer wine, and it's made with red wine and ice and lemon Fanta, or like carbonated water. And that was their refreshing summer cocktail that you could have in the middle of the day, all day. And you'd also get a free taco with that if you went to a restaurant. So
tell our listening audience what a tapa is in case they've been on Mars the last week.
A tapa is a Spanish appetizer. So it could range from a small plate of paella to some pork or ham on bread. So there's a lot of potatoes and a lot of Spanish ham. That's basically their staple diet.
I love it. And when it comes down to a true transformed traveler, a lot of you individuals out there listening to our shows, when you travel, you come back and you try to emulate or repeat recipes. How are you doing so far in terms of repeating some of the salads and the drinks? And what are the challenges as an American of getting the same authentic, great, healthy ingredients that you got in Spain and trying to repeat it here in the United States?
Well, the produce here is not nearly as fresh as Europe produce. And it's completely different. Even if you use the exact same recipe, you're not, it tastes better in Spain. And they don't sell lemon Fanta here, or I haven't found it yet. So I'm working on the Tinta de Verana.
Yeah, so it's difficult. Yet, don't, for you travelers out there, don't lose the spirit of trying to duplicate things in the United States. And we want to encourage you to continue to do that. When it comes down to touch, who was the singular most memorable person that you met on your trip and why?
Probably the woman that I lived with, because she taught me a lot of Spanish. And I watched her cook. And
what's her name?
Her name is Lena. And she was my Spanish mother for 6 weeks. So I became close with her, even if I couldn't convey exactly what I wanted to say, she understood.
I love that. And tell our listening audience, regardless of age, why they should travel to Spain to learn Spanish and to be a part of that culture and to really kind of immerse themselves and be changed.
Because Spain is rich in history and has amazing food and music, and the people are full of life, and they know how to live right.
I love that. We're talking to Heather Tocchini, the Transform Traveler correspondent, who's just spent the last 6 weeks in Granada, Spain. And if you had the opportunity, folks, to be able to travel for that length of time, the longer you travel, the more changed you will be. And I think that there's probably also a temptation on the part of that traveler who's kind of converted from a tourist to a traveler to maybe want to go back to Spain. So if we took your temperature today, would you want to go back and move to Spain someday if that opportunity were in front of you?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's what we figured. That was sort of a loaded question for our transformed traveler. But it just goes to show you that, I mean, change can take place, and I guess your base is in Los Angeles. You haven't been back to Los Angeles yet, but I've got to believe that your perspective on life and culture has changed. When you're headed back into Los Angeles, what are your feelings going to be about returning to your home base?
It'll take some adjusting, but I'm already planning my next trip abroad.
There you go. That's what it's all about. Okay, you mentioned sounds and music. Tell me about the most memorable sounds or music that you heard during your trip, from insects to tapping the feet or whatever that sound might be that kind of is ringing in your ears today.
There was a lot of music on the streets, a lot of accordion music, but people were always singing in the streets, especially flamenco-style music, and a lot of clapping. Everyone was always clapping along with the singing. So that would definitely have to be it.
Interesting. And were you able to learn the dance of the country? Or if so, what exposure did you have to flamenco?
I got to see two flamenco shows. Most of the flamenco shows in Granada are in caves because there are a lot of caves up in the hills and a lot of gypsies still reside in the caves. And the first show I got to see was really intimate. There were only about 30 people in the audience, and it was just one singer, a guitarist, and one dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw one that looked over the Alhambra, which should be one of the seven wonders of the world, but isn't. And that was a bigger show, but they were all amazing.
And something that Heather had told us during her the prep of this interview was that flamenco dancing looks like an improvised dance of sorts.
It's all improvised. It's led by the guitarist, and the singer improvises, and then the dancer does whatever he or she wants.
Then inherently, is it difficult to learn or difficult to teach if it's all improvisation?
Yes, I did take one class, and it was a lot harder than I thought because it's a lot of coordination where you're stomping your feet and clapping on a different rhythm, and then you're moving across the stage at the same time. So,
oh wow!
There's a lot of elements you need to let everything go and not think, and then it'll be better.
I love that. Sounds like drumming to me. Okay, so we're down to the last two senses, and we're talking to our Transform Traveler correspondent, Heather Tokini, who's returned from 6 weeks in Granada, Spain. And let's take our fragrance, our olfactory, as the next. Tell us about the fragrances that you remember most about Spain, that if you close your eyes and you smell, it's like you can relive that beautiful fragrance that you inhale.
I went to a park near the house I lived in called, it was named after a poet, no, I can't remember his name, Garcia Lorca, and there were over 100 species of roses.
Wow.
And it was very fragrant walking through.
Wow. Magnificent. And, you know, to that end, when you travel Europe, Spain or other parts of Europe, there are various countries that you can go to that specialize in certain flowers. And so that's a part of the show is stop to smell the flowers, folks, and everything else, whether it's cooking that's taking place in the villages or other things. And our last sense, of course, is sight. You mentioned something you thought that one of the places that you visited should be a Seven Wonders of the World. If you were to name just a couple of things that you saw that you think that you tell our listening audience you've got to see when you travel to Granada or to Spain in general, what are those couple things?
The Alhambra from the Albaicin, which is a neighborhood up in the hills. And there's a viewpoint called St. Nicholas. And the best time to see is obviously at magic hour, right before the sun sets. And it's really pretty that the sun, with the sun hitting it, it turns like a golden color. And then at night, there's light shining on it, so it's really lit up and beautiful. But definitely see the entire city from the Albaicin at that time, and that was my favorite.
I love that. And, folks, just to mention a couple other things that Heather mentioned in the pre-interview, from a taste perspective, tasting the sweetest watermelon in the world and also tasting bull tail. What was that like?
It was like a really tender meat croquette. It didn't taste like meat at all. It tasted like mashed potatoes, but it was meat ground up, and it was the best thing I've ever eaten in my whole life.
Mm. And some of the pictures that we saw after her trip included some weird door knockers. Is that just kind of a tradition over there?
Yes, they all like to be unique. They're knockers.
I love it. And Heather brought back some extraordinary pictures of puertas, doors. Puertas, doors. So it's fantastic. Folks, we are so thankful that you listened to this show. We hope that you'll continue to listen to the Transform Traveler Show. And just remember that as you travel, traveling may leave you speechless, but then you turn into a storyteller as well. Enjoy your adventures, and remember to stay curious We're the Transform Traveler Show. Thanks for joining us.